Welcome to Reform Media Review. I am still at Shepherd's Conference. It will never end, although I'm doing all these interviews in one day, so that could be the reason. And I'm here with Danny Lee, who is from Crossway, and he's going to tell us about some of the new books from Crossway. Danny, thanks for joining us.
Oh, Rob, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us about what you do at Crossway?
I've been in sales at Crossway for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was a church planter for about 25 years, so kind of been around the horn.
Yeah.
Been married 21 years, got seven kids.
Seven kids.
Wow,
you have been productive.
I trying to fulfill the biblical mandates. So, yeah, but we've been around for a while, and so it's a joy to work for Crossway. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great. Well, why don't you start telling us about your books?
Sure, sure. Some of the new ones that have just come out. David Pallison is one of those authors that is getting more and more respect. He's from CCEF, from mm-hmm. that movement, as far as counselors are concerned. And he's got a book that just came out with us, and it's called God's Grace in Your Suffering. And what makes this unique is, as the template, he's using the hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking at that hymn, and from that hymn, helping us find hope and help and grace mm-hmm. in the midst of our suffering. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid. You know, so it's like, so he's going into that. He's saying, we do have a firm foundation. Mm. Through fiery trials we may go, but, you know, God is going to be with us. So it's kind of a unique look at suffering through this hymn that's so well known. So that's David Pallison and God's Grace in Your Suffering.
Excellent. So would this be a good, like, book for like personal devotion or?
Yeah. It's one of those.
As a gift for somebody who might be going through suffering.
Correct.
Like that.
And just even those who just love that hymn. I mean, it's one of those hymns that so many people love.
Sure.
I've even heard it on trailers for different ministries. They do that as one of the songs that lead into them, you know, the preaching time. So it's just one of those songs that's, it's open to the public. We don't know mm-hmm. who actually wrote How Firm a Foundation.
Oh, okay.
We don't know if it's a male or a female. We don't know what their station mm-hmm. in life was, but so it's open for public domain. And so,
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to go to your next book?
Yeah, I'll go to the next one. Rosaria Butterfield, who is known for her previous book as a former lesbian who comes to faith in Christ through a pastor who invites her in to his home to talk about the Bible and talk about the faith. And she comes to the Lord. It's a very famous book. People have talked about a lot. And so Rosaria, this book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, she's kind of looked at the church coming from the gay community where they really do have community.
Right.
And she's come into the church and she's found a lot of the people in the church, they're very open on Sunday morning when you're at the church setting, but when you go home, it's kind of like, no, we don't want you coming to visit.
Mm.
And so she's really kind of almost a prophetic voice in calling the church to hospitality.
Mm,
and not just a hospitality that you have with people in your church, but to the person down the street that you aren't sure what they're all about.
Mm.
They drive a crazy car, they dress weird, maybe they are gay. Maybe some people in the community thinks they might be doing drugs. Are we willing to invite them into our home and show them hospitality? And so it's very evangelistic. It's mm-hmm. very challenging. I think a lot of us don't like our Christianity being messy, and she's inviting us into the messy world of hospitality. So
that's really good.
Yeah, very good. Next, we have a book by David Murray, and it's called Reset. And what I like about this book is it's challenging men in the area of burnout. A lot of men, I think it's interesting here in America, workaholism, which in some sense could be seen as a sin, is applauded. You can work 7 days a week and people say how noble you are.
Yeah.
And it's not noble. And what David is doing in this book, he's going, okay, we need to reset our lives because a lot of guys are just frying out. They're burning the candles at both ends. And so it's gospel-centered, but it's also practical. So he looks at a man's eating habits.
Okay.
A man's sleeping habits. Mm. I mean, he quotes, I think it's D.A. Carson, who says, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just go to bed.
Mm.
I think we don't remember that God's one who doesn't need sleep. We need sleep, right? And then there's a chapter on friendship. And I find it fascinating that most men don't know how to be friends or how to have a friend. And he has a quote here from a psychiatrist who said, "I think I'd be out of work if people just had friends."
That's good.
You know, how to know and be known. And so he really delves into the practical things of life so we can avoid the issue of burnout.
Does he get into more detailed, like scheduling or how you can
even the nuance of eating strawberries, which is good for memory. I mean, so it can be that nuanced and that practical. Exercise, dating your wife. I mean, all these kinds of things that makes a full life.
Right.
And so he's really just causing us to, and just the whole Sabbath rest.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. Does he get into
that? Yes, he goes into the whole area of just resting. We don't know how to do that anymore.
Right.
And you can factor in the fact of the iPhone. We never just stop. Mm-hmm. And we're always going, always. We got to be in the know. We got to be going, all going, going, going. And he's like, whoa, we need to reset our lives a bit. And so there's that. And there's a companion book written by his wife. It's called Refresh. And that's on the same subject, but it's for women.
Okay.
And what we found, we did a poll on Crossway, and we were pulling men, and we thought mainly men were going to, well, we pulled our audience on burnout, and we thought men were going to tip the scale on burnout.
Yeah.
Well, we found out it was women.
Yeah.
Okay. Women don't, I mean, they have no mechanism to shut down their mind. He talks about, men can have a football party at somebody's house, and they can be oblivious to everything that's going on. A woman can't. She's at that football game and she's thinking about dinner. She's thinking about the people down the street. She's thinking about the kids. A man just zones it all out. But a woman doesn't have that ability to zone out, and that's why they're tipping the scales on burnout. So there's that.
Yeah, it's like Martha.
Yeah.
Always busy.
Always busy.
But doing so his wife is also by Crossway?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes.
And when did that come out?
It just came out, I want to say it's about 6 months ago. So it's real new. And for me, Rob, to read that book, Refresh, it gave me an insight into my wife that I never saw before. So it's good for men to read it, because if we aren't careful, women don't know how to say no, and they're always competing. Well, Johnny's already reading. My Johnny should be reading. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, well, she's really serving in the church a lot more than I am. Maybe I didn't mean, they feel guilty for saying no. They always got to keep doing more and more and more. And we as husbands, that book would be good for us to come alongside after reading it and say, honey, I think you just need to stop.
So
it's okay.
When did this one actually come out?
That came out, I'm going to say a year ago. Not quite a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. So are you keeping a side-by-side track of the sales to see which one does better? And then you're
That's a
letting,
great question. I'm sure
them,
somebody is at Crossway, but I haven't been.
Well, I bet they are.
Yeah.
See, you know, maybe this hopefully this won't cause struggle in the home. You know, or maybe it's just a friendly competition.
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I actually saw them in an interview, both of them together, and it just their compassion for those who are, because when you hit burnout, the temptation to sin, you just it grows, and a lot of guys are giving in to temptations just because they're just so tired.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
So
yes. So
next. On the Christian life, this whole series has been just such a joy, and it's finally gaining some traction. The whole idea behind On the Christian Life is if you could sit down with some of these great saints of the Lord and spend some time with them, what nuance would they bring? Because they all have kind of like different, like Edwards, it was the beauty of God. Calvin, it was the glory of God. Luther, it was the grace. You know, they all had different aspects, right? And so Michael Reeves has written one for us on Spurgeon. And what I like what Michael's done by reintroducing, because I think we all know Spurgeon. We've read Spurgeon.
Sure.
We've all read biographies. And what's important about this series is not necessarily biographical, though it has that kind of element in it. It's biographical, but it's also teaching. It's if he could sit down to you and say, you know, you really need to know this about the Lord. And for Spurgeon, it was what it was like to have life in Christ. And what you get from reading this book is a full Spurgeon, in the sense that Spurgeon was almost like he was so full of life because he saw life in Christ. And so some people actually feel like he was a botanist. He could actually tell time by the blooming of flowers. That's how he would look at nature and he was in awe of God. And you almost see a childlike faith in this mighty Spurgeon by what Michael Reeves does in this book. And just a kind of an insight, I don't know if this should be recorded or not, but this is kind of funny.
Oh, we can always edit it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're not going to edit this.
We did a conference call with Michael. And he goes, you know, before I ever okayed doing this book, he said, I first had to talk to my wife. And he said, you know what she told me? She said, you know, who knows, Michael, maybe this might make you a better preacher.
Wow.
Don't worry,
we'll edit that. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
But, you know, and that's this whole series, we try to point out the authors or the subjects' feet of clay. Like Jonathan Edwards, everybody loves Edwards. And that was probably one of my favorite in the series. It's about Edwards focused on the beauty of God. And so often for me, as a believer for so many years, I've always looked at God as majestic and powerful and awesome. But beautiful? No. And that was Edwards. He was beautiful in his holiness. And so we love Edwards, but the last chapter is so telling because Dane Ortlund actually looks at Edwards and says, we have to be careful because Edwards owned slaves.
Yeah.
And as much as we hold these people up, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Still human.
Yeah, still human. Yeah. I mean, one on Luther points out the fact that, you know, Luther, he became an anti-Semite when he got later in life.
Yeah.
And so they had feet of clay. We got to be careful.
Absolutely.
We don't idolize it.
Yeah.
Next, brand new from John MacArthur, The Gospel According to God.
We have to get a John MacArthur book.
We do, of course.
At the Shepherd's Conference.
Yeah, of course. And this isn't even out on the bookshelves yet. And this is John's look at Isaiah 53.
Oh, okay.
And the wonder of this chapter. And John brings up in this book that many Jewish people have never heard Isaiah spoken of in their synagogues. And when you read Isaiah, I actually did this. I was at a conference. And this Jewish person was at this conference, which kind of caught me off guard. He was just kind of exploring. And I told him about Isaiah 53. I said, who does Isaiah 53 point to? He goes, I've never read Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to go to your hotel and read Isaiah 53 and come back and tell me who you think it was. And he comes back and he's like, oh my. I said, who do you think it is? So it's so plain.
Yeah.
And so John brings out the nuances of Isaiah 53 and just the suffering servant and who Christ is in all of his glory through Isaiah 53.
That's interesting. I was watching a video on YouTube and there was someone, I wish I could remember the name, I just stumbled across it. And there was somebody who was in Israel and he was a Christian and he was just stopping people on the street, Jewish people, asking if they wouldn't mind answering some questions. And he took them through Isaiah 53. And then he would give them the gospel. It was really interesting. And a couple of them, as he was going through, you could see this knowing smile, like, yeah, I know where you're going with this. And then he'd get through and he'd say, well, who do you think that is? And they'd say, well, you're going to say Jesus. You know? And they but it is plain. And you can see that. If you know the Christ story and then you read that passage and you can really see it. And that really is a tremendous witnessing tool. There were a couple that were, snarky about it, but most people were kind of astonished at the teaching of Isaiah and the Christ story. How many chapters are in this book?
I don't know how many chapters, but I looks like 10 chapters.
Okay,
so you've got everything from.
We'll come back and we'll cut cut that part. But I'm going to ask the same question, and we can go back in and do that. I can ask you again.
Okay.
Okay. So Camden, give me a good edit there.
Okay, so, I'm going to get it right this time.
Yeah. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
How many chapters are in that book?
There are 10 chapters.
Okay.
It's broken up into two parts, The Suffering Servant and The Life and Times of Isaiah the Prophet.
So, oh, okay. Excellent. Now our last book. The biggest book.
It is the biggest book. It's quite the tome, and it's kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to theistic evolution. That's the title of this book.
Okay.
And so you've got a who's who writing on this issue because there are now believers who are starting to believe that God...
It's becoming very acceptable.
Yes.
Very
God
acceptable.
God started evolution.
Right.
And that's how he did it. And after reading this book, you're going to, how you can still believe that, it's going to be hard to believe. And they point out just, that, you know, it's interesting, Rob. I was, I'm like more than halfway through this. And I'm in the chapter when he's talking about the DNA.
Okay.
And I think about when David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm. David didn't know about the DNA. If he had known about it, he would have really, it was like, David, you don't even realize. I mean, you're looking at what you've got. I mean, so the nuances and you will, I found myself worshiping God when I was reading this tome on this, you know, apologetic against theistic evolution. Mm. And it was just so rich in God's fingerprints on creation. And for you, for us to say, and you'd have to play footsie with Genesis, that it that Adam and Eve just evolved. It's like, well, what do you do with the text? So, and what's really fascinating, Rob, is that secular scientists are coming out saying we don't believe in evolution, and yet Christians are saying, no, we do. Yeah, and the scientists are going, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, it's just
So, okay, we're gonna pause there. Why don't you, we're going to go through the chapters a little bit, just,
pull up
the index
chapters.
And just kind of look at bring out a couple of the general or the main, either chapters or the sections of the book, and just give us a little, about the content and that.
Wow, that's hard.
That's right. That's why we're paused right now.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, we can do this.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready, and then we'll come back in. And it doesn't have to be much. Just I just want people to have a good feel of just what that's going through.
Okay. And all right. Cool. All right. Let's do it. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to come back in. 3, 2, 1. Well, walk me through the book a little bit. Give me some of the sections, the contents of how it's structured.
Great. Well, like section one, it's the scientific critique of theistic evolution. So, three good reasons for people of faith to reject Darwin's explanation of life. That's one of the subsections. The story about mechanicism. I mean, we'll cancel that one. Delete that. Can we do this again?
Okay. All right, Cameron. We're gonna try this again. We're gonna do a second take on the on this. That's okay. And we're going to come back in. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to come back in. And 3, 2, 1. All right, Danny, why don't you walk us through the book a little bit? Just give us just a general idea of some of the contents and the structure.
Sure. Well, three of the main sections, the scientific critique of theistic evolution, three good reasons for people of faith to reject Darwin's explanation of life. So that's part of the first section. The second section, the case against universal common descent and the unique human origin. So it looks at the fossil record and different things like that. The next section is philosophical critique of theistic evolution. Why science needs philosophy? Should theistic evolution depend on methodological naturalism? I mean, there's just so, it's so rich.
So it's trying to be very exhaustive in its approach.
You look at the actual list of contributors and their credentials. I mean, it's PhD after PhD after PhD.
In specific fields.
Yes, specific fields. And so it's our goal. What you find with Crossway doesn't often publish books that are meant to be million copy sellers. Mm-hmm. We're driven by content. And we knew this probably wouldn't get a lot of traction. We felt like it's important enough to be printed. And that's why this was printed. Not so we'd make a lot of money, not that we'd sell a lot of copies, but we say, okay, we've got to address this issue.
Yeah.
And this is now the elephant in the room. If you're going to believe in theistic evolution, you've got to wrestle with these guys.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
That's excellent. So there's one, obviously you don't have it with you because I know I just saw a picture that it hit the Crossway warehouse for. And that's there's a series on the books of the Bible, but it's 12 weeks. And there's a new one by somebody named Camden Bussey.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what or is it Camden Bussey? Is that the actual name?
I've never met him personally, so I don't know exactly how he pronounces his name.
Oh, we'll go with the first one then.
Okay.
You know, don't worry, he won't hear this.
Yeah.
So but Camden's new book is coming. While we were here, actually, it got to Crossway. Tell us about the series and what the structure of that is.
You know, what I love about this series, and I'm just going to just, I don't think this
what's the name of the series? I might not have actually said.
It is Knowing the Bible series. Okay. It's a 12-week Bible study.
Okay.
And to kind of give you the best gist of this whole series, I was at a conference, a pastor's conference, and this just world pastor walks up to me and goes, Danny, he goes, you know, there's lots of Bible studies out there, and some are way up here, can't understand them. Some of them are just full of fluff. He goes, these hit the right middle. And it really is. It's kind of, it's not so academic that you can sit there and go, I don't understand what we're even talking about. Or it's so full of fluff that it's meaningless. We've tried to, and it's also, J.I. Packer is the general editor of it.
Right.
And that
okay.
was one of his goals before he passed on, was to finish this series. And so it's also tied into the ESV study Bible, so you can actually go even more in depth than what you've got in the actual 12-week study. So each one is, it's practical, a lot of application, and yet it digs into the Word of God too. So you walk away feeling like you've gained more understanding in God's Word. You've seen how it applies to your life. And we're gaining in the knowledge of God. So that's kind of what it's all about.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you very much
for
sitting down with me and telling us about your new books.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to do it again.